Well, it's time for us to begin our study. We are in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. We introduced the book last week and talked about the first two verses, and we'll resume at verse 3 after our morning prayer. And Chris, do you have the mic? Or... Okay, Paul, Jack has. So would you offer our morning prayer? Thank you.
Shall we bow? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come before your throne, God, thanking you for this beautiful day, for this time to come together to study your word as a body of Christ. We thank you for the for our teacher, Brother Ed, and may you be with him as he instructs us in the lessons of the book of Hebrews. As we take in his lessons, may we do everything in our everything possible to put the lessons to use in our daily life, that we may draw closer to you, and prove justified in our faith in Christ Jesus, your Son. It is in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. So let me just begin by reading from verse 1. And I'm reading from the ESV, although I do like the way the King James writes this as well. But from the ESV, verse 1. Long ago, and at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And so that was kind of how this book gets introduced. And we talked about what it means to be called the Son of God. And Jesus was referred to that about 41 times in the Gospels and in the New Testament. And by himself, he referred to himself as the Son of God. And so this refers to his divine nature. It refers to him as being the second person of the divine Godhead, which is the Father and the Word, which became flesh and dwelt among us. And his name was called Jesus. And to the Holy Spirit. The Word became flesh, not by the will of man or the efforts of man, but by the will and power of God. And so he became the true Son of God. And he was also called the Lamb of God, as he was identified by John the Baptizer. And this refers to the fact that he would, by the design of God, become the final and ultimate and only remaining sacrifice for sin. He is the Lamb of God, and our sins are forgiven not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own precious blood. The title Son of God refers to Jesus' high rank and stature above all else. But he is also called the Son of Man, and he refers to himself as the Son of Man. Some 88 times in the Gospels in the New Testament. And this refers to his human nature as the Son of Adam, as the Son of Abraham, as the Son of David, truly a Son of Man. And it also refers to his humility as a true servant, an obedient and faithful servant of God. Paul wrote in Philippians, the second chapter and the eighth verse, and these are things that are important as we go through the book of Hebrews to know and understand. Because Paul says this about Jesus being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that's the good news, that He died according to Scriptures, He was buried, and on the Thursday He rose again according to Scriptures. And the good news is, if we die with Him symbolically, through our belief, through our repentance, through our immersion in water for the remission of sins, and we rise up in the likeness of His resurrection, the good news is we shall actually live with Him forever and ever in heaven. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, Adam, the first man, sin entered into the world, and so many were made sinners. But by one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. And the world sometimes does not get this. Romans, or 1 Corinthians, 1 chapter 18, verse, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. In John, the first chapter, which is a very important chapter in our knowledge of understanding who Jesus is, said that He came unto His own, unto the Jewish people, and His own received Him not. But as many as did receive Him and believed on Him, He gave the right or the power to become the children of God. And back in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 21st verse, it pleased God that through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. And so this, the Word became flesh, the Son of God. And as a son of Mary, He was also a man. And and those two things qualified Him so perfectly to become our Savior and our High Priest. And this is what the book of Hebrews is about, and how that is important for us to know and to understand. And so, what is it that distinguishes Jesus, the Son of God, from above all others? Whether they be men or they be the angels of heaven, what qualifies Him as to be our Savior, King, and High Priest? Well, we've talked about a couple of things. Verse 2, He is the heir of all things. And we talked about that last week. He has been given all things, all power, in heaven and in earth. And He has been exalted above all else because He is God. He is God's Son, number one. And the second, He created the world and everything in it. And so we begin in verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God. And what that means, you know, we can go through all these and we can spend a lot of time on each one of these, but when people got to know Jesus, the Son of God, Son of Man, they began to know what God was like. For He was the splendor, the brightness of the glory of God. In John, the first chapter, He is called, He came into the world and He was the light of the world. And the light became the life of men. For a lot of things we know and understand, not because we were there, or not because any man was there, but because God illuminated us about creation, about the purposes of God. And He illuminates us through the gospel and through New Testament teaching from His chosen prophets and apostles what lies before. Because no one was there in the beginning, and no one can look towards the end except God and Jesus, His Son. And He is the exact imprint of His nature. King James says the express image of God. And this refers to a process like the making of coinage. They would make a stamp, a die, and they would stamp metal. And what would be on the metal was exactly what was on the stamp. And that relationship between the stamp and the metal, the coin, is the exact relationship between God and His Son. They are one in the same. So if you know Jesus and you have knowledge of Him, you know the Father. Another thing, He upholds the universe by the word of His power. All things were created by Him. All things consist and continue by His power. And all things will end by His voice. And behold, He will make all things new. This is what qualifies Him. What else? After making purifications for sin, and this was by His self, by His own self. The blood of bulls and goats or any other animal was not sufficient to take away the sins of the world, but by the precious blood of Jesus, our sins are washed away as we are immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And after that, after making purifications for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He who also descended into the earth has also ascended back unto heaven from whence He came. This is one of our fundamental beliefs. The death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus. And so verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And after making purifications for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Verse 4. And having become as much superior to angels. And what are angels? You know, I don't know if the book of Hebrews was written because a lot of people believed angels were maybe superior or equal to Jesus, or that I know that some believed that Jesus might have just been a created being. I think what Jehovah's Witness believe that, and Seventh-day Adventists believe that. Mormons believe that Jesus was a created being, a demigod, but that's not so. He was a divine being who had no beginning and will have no end. But angels are created beings. All angels are created beings. They weren't equal with God. They're not gods. They didn't coexist with God in the beginning. God created them. Exodus tells, the 19th chapter tells us that on this, in 6 days, God created everything in heaven and in the earth. everything, even angels. So angels are no more than messengers and servants of God. And we will see as we go through this that they're the servants of God. They carry out His will. We read about Gabriel. We read about Michael. They did various things. They talked to some people, giving them the message that God wanted them to hear. But Jesus is not an angel. He is superior to angels, and angels are in control of the Godhead, and Jesus as well. So having become or being made, so what does that refer to? Being made or having obtained through His, and we're talking now not about the Word, but we're talking about Jesus the man. He obtained a better name because of the things that He did. And He goes on to say, for which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And we can read in Acts 13, verses 28 through 39. And if we have time, I would like to read that because it pertains to what the book of Hebrews is all about. But today, what day is that? Well, according to Scripture, it was the day that God raised Him up from the dead. And this He said, today I have begotten you. And what does that mean? Well, many people have died. And some people, even in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, have been resurrected to life. But every one of those people died a second time and was buried and now await the judgment and the resurrection. But Jesus is the only one who lived, who died, was buried, rose again, never to die again. And so the Romans, the sixth chapter, says this, that if we die to sin, and how do you do that? You do that by believing the gospel, confessing that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, repenting, and changing and making a decision from this day forward. I will learn more of Him and more of His will, and I will continue to grow in faith and knowledge and stature and wisdom according to the Scriptures. And I will humble myself and be immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And when we do that, we rise up, according to the Scripture, a new creature. Sins forgiven, not by any act of our own, but by the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that if we do those things in the last day, we will be resurrected, never to die again, but to live forever with our Lord in heaven. That's what it means when it says, this day I have begotten you. And one day, even though we've been begotten of men, if we have been begotten of God, because part of that, well, we read it before, or I talked about it before, John, the first chapter, the 12th verse, as many as received Him, He gave the power to become the sons of God. And that's how we become begotten of God. And Jesus was begotten of God on the day of His resurrection. Or again, to which of the angels did God say, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Well, that was said of Jesus in 2 Samuel 7, 11 through 14, when David was given the promise, a covenant promise, that he would have a son or a descendant who would be to God, who was speaking, a true son. And he would reign on the throne of David forever. Well, in the Gospels, Jesus is also called the Son of David because he has been given the throne of David. And he sits as our King and Savior, as head of the church, and he reigns over all the nations of the earth. He will give, he will require a reckoning from all people and all nations on the earth. And that's who Jesus is. Not to any angel has he ever given that or said that about, but he did say those things about Jesus. And going on in verse 6, and again, when he brings the firstborn, this is Jesus, into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And that is taken from Psalms of the 97th verse, 97th chapter and 7th verse, and chapter 82 of Psalms 1 and 6. And as we read the Gospels, the account, who was singing praises and worshiping God on the day of Jesus' birth? The angels in heaven. And so many angels have appeared unto men. And what did a lot of those men do when they saw angels?
Be frightened.
Well, frightened. But what did John do? He bowed down and worshiped him. And what did that angel say?
Stand up.
I am a servant just like you. I am a servant of God just like you. Only God is worthy of worship. But yet he commands angels and all people to worship his son Jesus. Not to any other angels. Let all the angels worship him. Verse 7. Of the angels, he says, this is definition, this is a description of what angels do. He makes his angels winds. In other words, go, 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 as the wind does, wherever God commands. And his ministers, so they are ministers or servants or messengers of God, a flame of fire. And I guess the first time we see an angel doing and becoming, as it were, a flaming fire, where? And you think, in the beginning sometime? In Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned and was cast out, he put a cherub there so men would not have right to the tree of life. And the cherubim was as a flaming sword, keeping Adam and all his descendants out of the garden. So that's what angels are. Psalms 104, verse 4. Verse 8, but of the Son, he says, your throne. Who sits on a throne? Kings do, rulers. So of the Son, he says, your throne, O God. So this is the Father calling the Son of God, God. Jesus is God, make no doubt about it. Even though he became flesh, he is God. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Psalms 45, 6 and 7. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved, verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. In the Old Testament, only certain groups of people were anointed with oil. Kings, prophets, and priests. Jesus, in one person, is all three of those. A king, a prophet. Moses said, there will come a prophet such as I am, who will give you a new law and an everlasting covenant, and you need to listen to him. And he is also our high priest, as the book of Hebrews is going to teach us. Verse 10. To which of the angels he ever said this? You, Lord, laid the foundation of earth in the beginning. Psalms 102:25-27. And the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. That's what God says about his Son, Jesus. Verse 13. And to which of the angels has he ever said at my right hand, Psalms 110, said at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Or, in speaking again about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent out? They're sent out. They don't go at their own whim or their own will. They are sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation, and that being the church. We could go into a lot more depth. Are there any comments on those scriptures that we have gone over? Paul?
I think we can take from what he's saying here is that there was a very strong element that not only believed in angels, probably worshipped angels, had they had a hierarchy of angels, mm-hmm. and names and everything. So this is an argument against that, a very good argument too. And so this should put to rest their idea that, of angels being equal to or superior or created anything like Jesus. So a good argument for that.
And that Jesus is not an angel. He is unique. Anything else? Okay. Chapter 2. Therefore, okay, that's all those verses preceding. He's going to sum this up. What does it all mean? Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard through the gospel, lest we drift away from it. And I don't know, as children, how often do parents say, pay attention? Didn't you hear what I said? Don't you remember what we said? I've told you 100 times. So this is the admonition. Because he is the Son of God, because he has authority, because he has command, because he is the creator, and he will be the finisher, as we're going to read later on. Because he is the mediator, because he is the one who God has spoken to us in these last days. We need to pay attention to that, lest we drift away from it. And the danger of drifting away from it is that there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's the only way. Verse 2. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. And I can think of a couple times where angels declared a message, like in Sodom and Gomorrah and those places, those five cities of the plains. And how many listened? Lot and his family. Just, what, four people? Five people? And what happened? Those cities were truly destroyed. So, if an angel could give a warning and she could give a ward and it received a harsh retribution or judgment or consequence, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God? We're not going to escape. That's the final word. Verse 3, it was declared at first by the Lord. So the Lord came preaching the gospel of salvation. It was attested to by us, the apostles, those early disciples, over 500 who saw him after his death, witnesses. It was attested to us by those who heard. Well, God also bore witness. How? Well, he bore witness to Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah and to Simeon. I can't think of the lady's name right now off the top of my head who was in the temple as well. She testified to him being the Son of God. God also attested to him at his baptism. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And he descended, the Spirit descended as in a form of dove. And this was a sign sent by God. This is how you will recognize him, John. The Spirit of God will descend to him in the form of a dove. And you'll know by this. God also attested to him through the mighty works of the Spirit, which he did. And among other things, he healed the sick and he cast out demons. And he did things that had never been heard of before. Like a man being born blind and he restored his sight. Like a man who had been born dead for 4 days. And his body was already showing the signs of corruption. And yet Jesus called him forth from the grave, even in that rotten state, unto life. He resurrected him from the dead. That had never been done, never even been heard of, never even been thought of. But yet Jesus did it. And so those were some of the things. By his resurrection, God attested that he was the Son of God. By his resurrection. So, verse 4, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. And so as the church began, the Holy Spirit sent by Jesus and by the will of God was poured out on the church and on Christians, on believers. And they were able to do mighty and wonderful things. And this made men take notice and listen to the message of the grace of Jesus Christ. Any comments on these verses? We have about 4 minutes left. So these are things why we should listen to Jesus through the gospel and his apostles. Verse 5. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. Jesus is the King and the head of the church. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? And this is David speaking about his own self and about this son that God had promised him would sit on his throne forever. You made him for a little while lower than the angels. And this refers to God, who is divine, coming to earth in the form of a man in flesh and blood. So in that sense, he was lower than the angels for just a little while. But verse 7, but yet you have crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 8, putting everything in subjection under his feet. And now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. So what's going on right now? Well, the Lord is in heaven. Satan is down here on the earth, going to and fro, seeking to devour as many souls as he can. He's deceiving nations. He's deceiving people. He's putting false doctrines and false teachings into the hearts and minds of people. He's deceiving people. They are believing him. They are being deluded by him. But yet at one day, with a sound of the trump, a shout, and the voice of our Lord, he will descend from heaven in the clouds as he came with all his saints behind him. And he will call out from the grave and from Hades every soul. We who are alive, if we are alive, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And at that time, we will all stand at the judgment seat of God. All the kings, all the princes, all the slaves, all the common folk, all the prophets, all men. And they will give an account to Jesus. And that's a powerful message. Something to think about seriously. All right. Closing comment? Okay, we'll pick up there next week.